Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I may have a frog in my throat today. You know, I thought I was going to take care of it. I drank something today that said it had lemongrass in it, and it had rose hips in it, along with cinnamon and peppermint. What the heck is rose hips? But anyhow, I thought I'd go ahead and take it anyhow, see if it would do any good. But yesterday, I walked around the property, Brother Dave, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I had my Ohio State sweatshirt on, my shirt on. I wanted to sanctify the property because a Wolverine's walked around too much this, as far as this property goes. So I thought it needed a blessing, so... Ephesians chapter 1, I want to start in verse 15. This is a prayer. This is Paul's prayer. This is the first prayer of two in Ephesians itself. There's one here in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and there's also a prayer of Paul's in chapter 3. This is the first one that I want to cover here this morning. It's to the Ephesian people, the people at Ephesus. He's trying to inspire them. He's trying to tell them about God's power as far as his knowledge and power. It's to the Christian, to the Christian people. And it's a letter not only to the church of Ephesus, but it's a circular letter to where all the churches was going to hopefully get a copy of this prayer so that they could be inspired, so they could be encouraged to continue to pray. And I don't think we have to talk a whole bunch about the importance of prayer, but I do believe if you're going to serve the Lord, you need to get your prayer life right with the Lord. You know, well, we've seen some, and just in the limited time that I've been here, we've seen some prayers answered. We've seen our pastor resurrect from the dead, basically, but that doesn't mean we stop. We keep praying. I've seen men come down this aisle and pray their heart out for the Lord. And we need to continue that. We need to continue to see that take place. There is a lost and dying world around us that needs our prayer. And if we don't pray as far as Christians, who will? Who will? We need to pray. And this is Paul's first prayer to the church at Ephesus here in Ephesians. It says in verse 15, "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." If you do a study as far as these verses go, you're going to be encouraged. There's a lot of things in here as far as inheritance, enlightenment, and things that you and I as Christians need, and we need to be encouraged with this word of God. And Paul is in prison. You have to understand when he's writing this letter, this epistle, but he's still not stopped. He's still not quitting. He's still not quitting his ministry. They may have him corralled in a room or in a prison cell itself, but he's still trying to encourage people. He's still trying to preach and teach the word. He's still trying to get it out. He's still praying for people. He's still writing letters of encouragement to people. You know, I know it's a lost form, but you and I, We still need to write letters to one another from time to time. I think that's important. It might be a lost art, but I think it can be something that can be used as far as part of the ministry. Encouraging, a telephone call, a prayer for someone. You know, how many times have you prayed, you told somebody, well, I'll make sure I pray for you. But we forget. We don't pray for someone. I think it's very important. But see, Paul, and we know about the Apostle Paul, he just doesn't quit. He's trying to encourage people to continue on. This is a baby church. It's been around a few years, and he's still trying to encourage them. I don't care how old a church is. We need to have prayer. If you want to see things done, if you want to see things done in your life, you need to pray. We all need to pray. If you want to see victories in this church, and we've seen some, I've only been here since October, but I've seen some victories. It's very encouraging to see victories. It's because of our prayer. Yeah, I know you're saved. I know you read the Bible. I know, but prayer's next. Listen, once we get saved, once we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I think the natural next step is, and I know about baptism and church membership, but I think a church, a person is encouraged to pray. That's the next thing. They start, after they're saved and they receive Christ, there's a great burden that's lifted from them, and they want to pray. And maybe instinctively, the very first thing they do is they pray for themselves and their family. And then they venture out as far as their prayer goes, and they start praying for others. That's something that we need. Listen, you know why our world is in such a mess? Because I don't believe the saints are praying. I don't believe that we're fulfilling. I don't think that we're praying like we should be praying. I think that our breed is starting to die out. I don't think it'll always die out, but I think we're dying out. There's a resource there that we're not channeling. There's a resource there that we're not tapping like we should as far as prayer. You ever have a prayer answered? Doesn't that encourage you to continue to pray? Doesn't that? Listen, my wife and I went to the hospital yesterday, and we did a visit too, a couple visits, and we visited Betty. And you know, it's exciting to hear. She said things like, "He's my Lord. He's my personal Lord. I know He belongs to you, but for right now, He's mine. And I'm going to continue to pray because God has answered my prayers in so many." That doesn't mean that she doesn't have prayers that she doesn't need answered, but she's seen the power of prayer. She's seen the victories, and that just encourages us to continue to pray and pray and pray. You know, I'll tell you something you might think a little silly, but I don't. You know, on a Tuesday night or Wednesday, they were talking about this storm that was supposed to go through Ohio, Illinois, Ohio, and other places, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, so on and so forth. They were saying you could get rainfall up to an inch and a half to 3 inches. The winds could be blowing at a certain point from 60 to 100 miles an hour. And it seemed like Wednesday, the storm got pushed back a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. But the storm eventually came. You know, I prayed. I was a little bit concerned. I believe in preparing for things like that. So I put a couple lanterns down at the top of the stairs, and I put my New Testament and my wallet and a couple other things. I have a crank radio just in case the power went out, and I put those things downstairs in strategic places just in case. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord," I said, "I know what they're saying, and I know who unleashes the power of these storms and controls this, that, and the other thing." But I said, "Lord, when it comes to this area, could you spare us a little bit? Could you just spare us a little bit? I know what they're saying, but I just pray that your will would be done as far as this goes." When I went out to the weather gauge the next day, I had less than a half an inch of rain, and I think I slept through the storm. If there was a storm, I didn't get the whole thing of it. We have in our township what's called First Alert. They call you anytime there's a storm or some danger in the area to warn the citizens of the township. Well, about 2:15, 2:20, they did call. But I tell you what, I think after the phone call, we just turned over and fell asleep. And we woke up the next morning. I didn't see anything. I took my flag down. I have a couple other things, flower pots and so on and so forth. But prayer works. You know, we have a God that answers prayer, a great and mighty God, and we need to pray. Paul was encouraging these people at Ephesus. He was telling them, he was showing them the power and knowledge, his knowledge as far as prayer, and he was encouraging them to pray. These people love one another, and they prayed for one another. And I tell you this, if we say we're going to pray for someone, we need to pray for someone. Just don't forget it. Either write it down if it's good up here, or write it down on a piece of paper and pray for someone that you say you're going to pray. But this is a church at Ephesus. You know what? The Lord knew what was going to take place later on at the church of Ephesus. You go to Revelation chapter 2, where it talks about the churches, and the very first church that the Lord talks about in Revelation chapter 2 is the church of Ephesus. And one of the things, not only that he had told them, I believe in verse 4, somewhere around there, that they had lost their first love. They had walked away. They were a busy church. They were active, doing all kinds of things as far as activities, bringing people in. But they forgot their first love. And that first love he was talking about was a honeymoon love. A honeymoon. Listen, who in here that's married doesn't remember their honeymoon? And the giddiness, the being excited, the love. You know, I happened to watch, it was, my wife could tell you the story, and we got to a hotel, and I turned on a basketball game because it was the NBA Finals. Of course you wanted to watch the NBA Finals. And so she could tell you, but the church of Ephesus, a little bit later on in the book of Genesis, had lost its first love, its honeymoon love. You know what? One of the steps in losing that love and walking away and maybe even slight a little bit of a backsliding situation is forgetting your prayer life and the importance of prayer and the power of prayer and what prayer can do. Because prayer works. Prayer works, and we need to understand that. Listen, when the Lord sent Ananias to Saul of Tarsus after Saul was saved, he objected, saying, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord replied, "Behold, he prayeth." That's in Acts chapter 9, verse 11. He was talking about Paul. I don't care what he's done in the past. He's saved now. And the very first thing he does by instinct, he didn't have to be told or taught how to pray. He prayed. And the Lord said, "Ananias, don't worry about his past, Saul's. We know that he was a persecutor. We know that he had letters and he had authorization to persecute, to kill, to jail these so-called Christians at that time. Don't worry about it. He's met me. Behold, Saul prayeth." This was an evidence of a real work that had begun in the life of the persecutor of the church of God. So Ananias went to him in confidence and laid his hand upon him, saying, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Prayer was important to Paul, and it needs to be important to Christians. Prayer is our communication, and it shares our heart with the Lord. That's our communication with the Lord. Listen, I call my dad just about every day. I very seldom miss a day because I want to have communication with him. Shouldn't we ought to pray to our Father in heaven daily. Lay before Him. Listen, sometimes when your hearts are heavy, isn't that the time when we should pray? Even when things are going well, isn't that time to pray? Pray without ceasing. And you'll see here a little bit later on. Shouldn't we consistently pray? We need to pray for our brothers. You know, this first prayer that Paul is praying is to the church. It's to the church. Shouldn't we pray for one another? You know, I get from time to time, I'm sure it might have happened to you from time to time, you get people that are not saved. They'll say something like, well, I pray all the time. Where's that prayer going to go? You're not even saved. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, what about the publican? Be merciful, me a sinner. That ought to be the very first things that come from an unsaved person's lips. And once that happens, you unleash the power, the resurrection power. We have a God in heaven that was resurrected through the power of God. And when we pray to Him, that's where our prayers go. That power, the God that holds the galaxies together. You know, I've read where it says you and I, just with eyes, can see about 7,000 stars. But do you know, in the Milky Way itself, there's billions and billions of stars? Who put that there? Our mighty Lord, our mighty God. And yet, we think that He can't. The only reason He can't, maybe sometimes, is because we don't ask. We're not asking like we should ask. We're not bringing it before Him. There's a little bit of doubt in our mind. Well, I think you can. No, He is an I can God. You know, George Mueller was a man of incredible faith and prayer. He supported, educated, and led led to Christ thousands of children in his orphanages in Bristol, England. Yet despite the vast scope of his ministry, he never asked anyone for money. He told those who wanted to know how they could help to ask God, as he had already taken his needs before the Lord. He didn't say, would you take this to the Lord and pray? Because we need this. What he did was, he said, listen, pray to the Lord. I've already left those issues with the Lord in my prayer. I've already told Him what I've needed. He had childhood friends. He had two childhood friends. And for 50 years, he had prayed for them, for their salvation. They were rascals along with him in his early life, as far as childhood and stuff goes. But when he was saved, he believed in the power of prayer. One accepted Christ just before he passed away, and the other one got saved right after he passed away. He was a man of great faith and great power. Prayer works, and we need to realize, listen, you want to be a faithful servant? I know lessons on serving the Lord then start with prayer. Everybody can pray. Everyone can pray. Last evening, when I was laying in bed, I was praying to the Lord. And in all honesty, I felt His presence there. There were just things that were on my heart and on my mind that I knew that the Lord was there. That ever happened to you? Ever happened? What blessings? So why don't we do it more often? Why do we hold back? Why do we think that it can't happen? It can happen. Everything. It can happen. We need to pray. We need to believe. As we get into Paul's prayer, and I won't take much time here, in this chapter, he is revealing some important facts that we need to know about prayer and our Lord. Paul's prayer was to the church. I've already mentioned that. We must remember that this letter was not just to the church of Ephesus. It was a letter to all the churches that had and were springing up throughout the surrounding areas. Although Paul was in prison, he wrote this letter, and he could not visit these converts, but he could write them and pray for them. What a prayer warrior. What a man of faith. He cared for his children. He cared for the brethren. He cared for those that all along in his missionary trips, the churches that were started, the people that were saved. He could remember them. He spent time with them and he could pray for them. The church, not just the church at Ephesus, but all the churches, we need to pray. Listen, I'm not one of, there are churches that of like faith in our area. What's wrong with praying for their pastors? What's wrong with praying for their church? Don't they want the same thing? Don't they want to see Christians? Don't they want to see people saved? Don't they want to see Christians grow? Don't they want to see God do a miraculous work in their church? It's just not the church, I think. It's the nation. It's the world. Because a lot of churches have missionaries of like faith as well. Shouldn't we pray for them as well? What's wrong with that? And praying for other missionaries. Listen, when Robbie Morrison was here, I said, "Brother, I'll pray for you." And I don't do it every day, but I do it every week. I pray for Robbie Morrison and everyone else. I don't have every missionary that we support in my land. People say I can't. People, it's said that people have a hard time praying 2 or 3 minutes. You get that missionary list of ours, and I guarantee you, you're going to pray for an hour, at least just for missionaries that are on that list. There's plenty of things to pray for, but we don't. And because of that, we're losing power. But this letter, it was for not only the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, for others. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord, all the saints in the Lord were precious to God, to Paul, and he prayed for them." The devil has as much reason to fear Paul's prayer as he had to fear Paul's preaching and writings. Do you understand that Satan, you want to aggravate Satan? Get on your knees and prayer. Pray. You want to aggravate him? Pray. Because that's aggravating to Satan and his little imps. We need to pray just to get him a running away. You ever had an evil thought? You ever had something all of a sudden just come into mind? You know the best thing for that? Say, "Lord, you know, take that thought away. Help me with that." The devil flees. He does run. With that at our fingertips, why don't we pray? You know, you have a vacation Bible school, and I'm sure I've been told it's a treat. I can't wait to see what takes place. I can't wait to be part of that. But you know, Christians, we need to be praying for that right now. We need to see that souls are saved, the children come and accept the Lord. And not children, because at the end, I don't know if this is true, but in a lot of vacations of Bible schools that I've ever been in, there's an opportunity for parents to come to bring their kids, opportunities for people to get saved. Isn't that what we want? Then we need to start praying right away. Paul had heard how the saints had loved one another. It says, again, in Ephesians 1:15, "And love unto all the saints." Most of the Lord's people find it easy to love some of the saints, but it's not so easy to love all the saints. It was easy for Paul to love Timothy and Luke, but there was probably those not so lovable. But we still need to pray for them. Listen, there have been people that maybe, you know this, and if I'm telling you something secret or something different, there are people that kind of rub you the wrong way. You know what we need to do to take care of that? Pray for them. Pray for us that God will give us a spirit of love, and let's pray for them. And you might just win them over. You might see something change as far as your relationship with them just through prayer. Prayer can do all those things. Paul loved God's people, and his love was infectious. Listen, that's one of the things I like about this church. Love is infectious. This is a church that does love people. You can see, it doesn't mean that everyone, but I can tell that people here love one another. And I can tell here that people care for one another. It's infectious. Do you know that it can be infectious in your family? and outside of your family, in your workplace, if you just show love. Yeah, it was easy for Paul to love Timothy and Luke, but I'm sure there were some people that might rub him the wrong way. But I believe that Paul was a man of prayer. The believers of Ephesus had caught it, and so had their converts. You bring in, you show love to people. One of the things that I like and don't like about, as far as the church goes, when we sing a song and everybody gets up and starts shaking hands. Now, I like that, but I'm kind of an introvert. I like it and I don't like it. But you know what? People see that somebody cares for them. And so it brings me out of my shell. So that's the way we should be. We should show people that when we have visitors come, we should show them love. Just not say we love them. We show them love. Brian, I told you that any way I could, I'd help you. And I mean that out of love. And that's the way we need. Love is infectious, and that's a way. There could be someone sitting right next to you right now that needs to know that someone loves them. And we need to tell them. And I do believe that this church does a good job of that. I really do. But it doesn't mean that we can't improve. We need to improve. Paul was delighted to hear that their love was overflowing. One of the true tests of genuine conversion is found in 1 John 3:14. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." We love the brethren. You know, I'm not the easiest person to love. I understand that. But I do appreciate the love that you have shown forth, each and every one of you, to us. It's really helped us as far as an adjustment period. Listen, I don't doubt God's love one bit. I know that God loves me and my wife. But it's really nice to know that there's a family, there's a body here in this church that's not afraid to express it as well. And if we do that with everyone that comes in, listen, I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, it's infectious. It'll catch on, and people will come. Paul's prayer was consistent. In Ephesians 1, verse 16, it says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul's prayer was evident of his love for the saints. Paul found time to pray consistently for the saints. Paul was an active missionary. He was always traveling, busy, planning churches, soul winning, counseling, training, and writing letters. Often he would put in a full day making tents to raise funds he needed for his support. But regardless of activities, he found time to pray. He found time. Look, you know, he would pray during his journeys, rather they were 40, 50 miles, or they were 100 to 250 miles long. Just walking. Hey, everything was, except unless you had a camel, everything was going, you were walking to and from. He had plenty of time to pray. We used to go back and forth to Pennsylvania numerous times a week. That was 2 hours of prayer. This time, well, not this time, but about 2 hours ago, for 2 hours, and my wife always knew what I was doing and always was honored that time. For 2 hours, I would pray for the church and the salvation of souls and the edifying of the Christians. Listen, don't say you don't have time. Look at the Apostle Paul and what he did. He was a busy man. Again, the church at Ephesus later on started forgetting about all that stuff. We need to take time to pray. When I don't care if you're driving down the highway, walking down the street, mowing a lawn, you can pray. There you can always take to God from heaven. Our Lord and Savior from heaven pays attention to our prayers. Whatever is going on. What an example for us. We could also spend countless moments each day in prayer if we really cared. You know, that's a gauge. Do you really care? How much time do you spend in prayer? Do you really care that visitors come? Listen, people walk down the aisle like they have been. I remember the pastor said, it's been a long time since the waters. People were being baptized. We needed to pray about that. It's been a while since people walked down the aisles and got saved. We needed to pray about that. And what happened? Did God answer the prayers or not? People have consistently walked down the aisles. People have been baptized. I was at a church once that had a red light over the baptistry. And the pastor told me this. He said, that light shines because as long as people are getting saved and baptized every week, that light shines every week. And he said that there's been years that light has always shined because people were always getting saved. People were getting baptized. Listen, if we really care what's going on outside these doors, we'll find time to pray. We'll find time to pray for lost souls. We need to pray, each and every one of us. Prayer is important. There's a couple other things, and probably one of the most important things I wanted to get at, but I'm not going to be able to do that. Paul's prayer was Christ-centered. It was Christ-centered. This book, cover to cover, page to page, verse by verse, is Christ-centered. And our prayers need to be Christ-centered as well. Christ needs to be the one that we go to. Lord, I know you can do it despite me, and I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying. Listen, again, I go back to Betty. She said, listen, I know the Lord answers prayers. She's answered prayers in my life. Listen, if you haven't had a prayer answered, you're missing out for a while. You're missing out on a great blessing, a great source of encouragement. We need to pray, Christians. Listen, again, I know about being saved and being baptized and joining up church, but I believe with all my heart, one of the signs that somebody has truly been saved, somebody truly believes in the God that they've trusted their life, their eternal life with, I believe that they'll go to the Lord in prayer. I believe that's another step as far as our Christian growth grows. I know we read our Bible, but I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, the prayer is very, very important, and we need to continue to do it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we just thank you for this time. We just pray, Father, that you would bless the services. We pray that you would fill Brother Dave with your power. I pray, Father, if there's a soul in our midst or one that comes in that does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray for the salvation of that soul. I pray, Father, for the Christian. Father, we have things going on. We have needs, and I just pray, Father, that they'd be able to lift their burden in prayer to you, believing and trusting, and that, Father, you will take care of all things because ultimately you do. Father, just bless our services, our songs, our specials. I pray, Father, this is truly would be a God-honoring service for your honor and glory. Amen. Amen.